Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 95. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Hey.
We got a little bit of a hodgepodge going on here this week, as usual. But we're going to start it off with some Westworld talk. We both watched the premiere episode of the new HBO show. Chris actually went and saw the 1973 movie that it's based on for the first time.
Yeah, I had never seen it before. Okay. It's been one that's been on my list for a while.
But. Yeah. It's one that I kind of go on about to people. But I have not seen it in a long time. But why don't we talk about that movie first? Because I remember it being pretty awesome for 1973.
Yeah, I mean, for 1973, it's a pretty cool science fiction movie. Like, it has a cool kind of Terminator-like villain. The premise is fantastic. It's a... this tourist attraction, this resort, where they have three different resorts. One is Westworld, which is the Wild West 1800s of the United States. Then there's Roman World, which is based on ancient Rome. And there was Castle World, I believe that's what it was called, which was based on like medieval times. And, each of these resorts are staffed by or populated by robots. Like, they are the hosts. And they are there to basically do whatever the guests want. Like, you can kill these things. You can fuck these things. Like, whatever you want to do is kind of like up to you. About halfway through, I guess, like, there's a malfunction, with the robots, and they all kind of start going crazy and killing the guests. And it follows Richard Benjamin and James Brolin, and basically their encounter with a gunslinger robot played by Yul Brynner, who is this really creepy kind of like he's kind of like the Terminator type character.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be like a off switch, like where the robots can't harm the humans, and somehow his switch is the other way and he's actually able to hurt them. And he basically, like, the back half of this movie is Yul Brynner's gunslinger chasing down Richard Benjamin. And as he explores, like, he runs away from him and he's exploring like the rest of the park and the underground where they do repairs. And it's a pretty cool, tense, little, you know, sci-fi action movie type thing. Sci-fi thriller, I guess. I mean, it's a 1973 movie, so yeah. It kind of is what it is. Like, there are definitely scenes where it's like, oh, well, like, I mean, you could do that better today, but it's
yeah. Cool.
I didn't realize this before, but it's written and directed by Michael Crichton, who is one of my favorite authors, the author of Jurassic Park and a ton of other like big books that have become movies. So it was really, really, really interesting.
Yeah, I remember liking it. Like I said, it's been at least 5 years since I've seen it, but I just remember being like, wow, this is like Terminator, like a decade before Terminator. Like, yeah. No, like, the weird thing is like nobody like remembers it or talks about it, or it's like it's a movie that didn't get a lot of talk or anything. Like,
yeah, and it is very good. Like, I mean, it's right up there. I would say it's right up there with like Logan's Run and other sci-fi films of that time period. So
yeah. And well, I mean, I guess what would you rate it?
Let me go 4 on it. I think it's a really cool premise, and I think that really carries it. But it really made me interested for the HBO show, which we're going to talk about.
Yeah, we'll get into it, I guess, kind of right now. But yeah, it's a neat idea. And then, you know, the show coming out, and I didn't really know what to think of, like, what the show was going to be. But, like, it surprised me in that the show is kind of, like, it at its core is that idea of a theme park, there's robots, something goes wrong with the robots. It's like the show is not like that wildly off base, I don't think, really, from what the original movie was.
No, it's very, very similar premise, although I think there's a focus on different things in it. There's definitely more of a focus on what's going on underneath the or behind the curtain, I guess. We definitely see, 'cause you have Anthony Hopkins as Dr. Ford. He's kind of the creator of this whole thing, and then you have Jeffrey Wright as like the creative director, the programmer, and you follow a lot of what's going on with them behind the scenes. And then there's like the interesting thing of Ed Harris is in it as I guess he's credited as the Man in Black. And he's a really interesting character because he is fucking with everything.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of him yet. Like, I don't know what he's trying to do. Like, I mean, I guess we'll find out, but like, it wasn't like, did you have any idea what the hell he's doing? Like, he's killing people for fun, but he's like obviously trying to do something more. Like,
Yeah, he's looking for something, and I'm not entirely sure what his end game is. Like at the end of the movie, we see that he's scalped one of the androids, and it looks like there's some sort of map or something encoded on it, and it's really, really strange. So there's a cool mystery going on here too. It's like, you know, in the original one, they played off the malfunction as almost like a virus of sorts. And that's kind of what they do here is that some this upgrade code that Dr. Ford had implemented has caused a breakthrough in the upgrades, whereas they can now kind of there's like almost like a wormhole that allows them to remember their past lives, so making them unstable.
yeah, it's like he like puts in an update that's supposed to like allow the robots to like access overwritten memories so that
Right.
they could have like,
They act more
I don't know,
real.
it's kind of like, yeah, it's kind of like how humans, even when they're born, there's some ancestral stuff in your DNA. I forgot what that's called, but like, I don't know, like instincts, like, you know, things that we have instincts, like he was trying to add that to it, and there it's causing all sorts of glitches and shit with these robots.
Yeah, and I
So
mean,
it's similar but different.
there definitely seems to be something going on with Ford himself. Like, he talks about evolution and how maybe humans have reached the end of their evolution. Like, the only thing they haven't accomplished at this point is being able to beat mortality. So it definitely seems like maybe there's more going on with him as well. So there's like mysteries all over the place here.
Yeah. I liked it. I thought it was a good premiere. Like it didn't blow me away, but like there, like you said, there's enough like different things going on. And I'm like, okay, that's interesting. I like how they kind of go through like their routine like two or three times in the episode where you could see like their main character, like her waking up every morning, who's a robot. Like, and just kind of like how her routine's the same almost every day, but she doesn't really remember because she gets kind of wiped every night. And
Was it like,
a lot of cool things.
did you think Teddy was at the beginning? Did you think Teddy was a guest?
Absolutely, because he's like coming in on the train, and like they definitely play it that way, but like you can tell by the second time, like the way the girls are, there's like some girls looking at him and they like comment about him.
It's like, well, that
So
first,
yeah, it's a,
and I mean, he meets Ed Harris in that first encounter, and like, you really, it's like, holy shit! Like I thought this
yeah.
guy had come back, and like, they had programmed maybe Dolores to remember him, but no, like these robots are really going about like, it's almost like a big live action video game, like Skyrim or something, where these androids are going about their lives, based on the programming that they've received.
Yeah, they've got like they say at one point there's like over 100 narratives going on at once. Like they're like living these kind of scripted lives, but like, you know, with the chance that like things could happen. It's cool. Like it's a cool mix of like it's like a Western with like a heavy dose of sci-fi with a lot of like it raises a lot of questions about artificial intelligence and stuff like that. It's neat. Like, I'm interested to see where it goes. I've heard that, like, some critics have seen, like, the first four episodes said it goes downhill, which is, like,
that's a shame.
I'd be surprised if that's true, but.
Right. I mean, it starts off pretty decently, so.
Yeah, like, it doesn't, I wouldn't say it's as strong a start as, like, some HBO shows. Like, it's not, like, it didn't blow me away, but I'm like, there's definitely room here for, like, an awesome show. Lots of neat things. I saw you talking about on Twitter. Like, one thing I thought was really neat is the music.
Yeah.
Like,
they incorporate, like, they incorporate modern music or
yeah.
like what we would consider like a classic rock or some of it was like 90s music, but they incorporate that into the film in like a Western style so that it fits the time frame. But it's like they
yeah.
do this. I think you've mentioned Black Hole Sun. They're playing that in the bar at one point.
Yeah.
And the one that really stood out for me was the big kind of brawl shootout, the bloodbath in the middle of the town,
yeah.
Which starts off with and kind of goes through the entire thing with them doing the Rolling Stones Paint It Black. Like, just, it's like, yeah, that really fits for this, and the way they're, you know, the way they orchestrated and arranged it, it fits the time period, it fits the setting. It's just really smart use of music.
Yeah, yeah. It reminded me because I just played through this game, BioShock Infinite, where they do the same thing. It's like they have like old timey versions of God Only Knows and Fortunate Son and stuff in that game, and like, I don't know, it's just a really cool touch. Yeah. I don't know. There's some other things I liked. I really liked. She's a really minor character so far, but I really liked. I can't remember. I want to say her name's Thandi Newton.
Oh, the one, hooker.
The
madam, actually, I believe.
I like her. She's sassy and she blows this dude's fucking head off.
Yes,
it's amazing. I liked her. I like one cool thing. Like, did you catch what was going on with the flies?
Like they were. I mean, I caught that they were like kind of flying up to them and landing on their head. And I mean, and there's mention early on that they couldn't even hurt a fly. Like that.
Okay. They're
programmed not to do that. And that's actually like at the end when Dolores smacks the fly. It's like something's gone wrong.
yeah. Like, here's – I somehow missed that line, although I do remember them saying, like, you know, they're programmed not to hurt anything. I was talking to one of my friends here in where I live, the day after, and he's like, yeah, it was because they said they wouldn't hurt a fly. And then, like, everything clicked into place. I'm like, oh, something's way off in their programming now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm very intrigued. Like, it's got great production values, great casts, and awesome setting. I'm interested to see how they're going to do this. I'm sure we'll check back in with it. I hope it's great because I don't really have anything else huge in terms of like brand new TV shows each week where I'm like, yes, I got to sit down and watch this. So,
yeah, that's kind of the only one right now. So.
I mean, there's stuff like I'm watching 11/22/63 right now. That's already right. out. Or like, you know, you get these Netflix shows. Like I'm planning on checking out Luke Cage, but that's different. Like you get a whole season at once that you can watch at your leisure than event TV where it's like, all right, Sunday night at 9 o'clock, just, you know, be there to watch this. Like, so yeah, I like that shit. Like, you know, everyone talks about it the next day. So I hope this catches on because I need something because. It ain't The Walking Dead for me. I know that's coming back, but I just can't. So,
well, you've been out for a couple seasons now too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so yeah. Hopefully, I hope it doesn't like fall apart because it's pretty like strong start. Like I'd give that episode probably an 8, like an 8 out of 10, or I guess we got on the 5-star scale. I'd give it a 4. You know, but. We'll see. We'll see where it goes. We'll check back in as the series goes on.
Yep.
We saw some other stuff.
Yeah,
you
saw some weird stuff.
Yeah. All right. You So anything you particularly want me to start off with here? Or
I mean, I guess jump into farting Harry Potter.
Okay. All right. Yeah, so I saw Swiss Army Man. I was kind of looking forward to it. Like, it definitely, like, from the trailer, like, what the fuck is this? But a lot of critics, like really loved it when it came out this summer. And, yeah, so it's Paul Dano is, like, this dude who's, like, about to kill himself. And then he sees a body wash up on shore. And it is a, like, homoerotic friendship story between him and this corpse who like he finds has like all sorts of these cool like it could fart, so he like uses it as a boat. Like, dude, I don't even know, man. Like, so like, yeah, he finds all these uses for this fucking corpse, and he's like trying to like survive and get out of like this place where he's at, like, you know, which looks like he's like on an island or something, and then like in the middle of a jungle, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, they're like just like, well, not surviving because the corpse is dead, but like he's like trying to survive, and he's like talking to this corpse who does talk back to him. That's played by Daniel Radcliffe, and it's like this weird, like, you know, it's kind of like, I don't know, like Tom Hanks in Castaway. He's like talking to the fucking soccer ball,
right?
But this is like it's kind of like that, but kind of way different, because like this corpse has no memory of its life. So he's like telling him things about life, like, oh, this is like why people have fallen in love, and like this is why you do this, and this is why you do that, and like, you know, the corpse would be like, what's that? Like, what's dancing? Like, why would you dance? Or I don't even know if that's something specifically, but you get what I'm saying. It's like,
right,
he's just explaining really basic shit about life. And then it gets weirder and weirder and weirder and weirder, and it goes fucking nowhere. And, man, I fucking hated Swiss Army Man. Like, it is, like, one of those movies. It's, like, this indie, like, movie that's going for, like, this, like, super quirky, like, weird creative vibe. Like, think of, like, I don't know, like, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, where like, that movie is, like, super, like, out there and, you know, different, right? Like, but this movie thinks that that's enough. Like, that being quirky and sentimental is, like, that's enough without actually being about anything. Like, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind is about something, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
This, like, it tries to pretend to be about stuff, but, like, I don't know really, like, is it about how he's, like, a closeted gay? Or, because there is, and we could get into that, too, because there's some weird fucking shit with him and the corpse. Is it about stalking? Because there's like a whole part about stalking, which I guess I won't get into for spoiler reasons. Like, is it about depression, loneliness? I don't know. Like, it's kind of like all over the place, and it's like it thinks it's super clever, but it's not. And it, like, where the places where it goes in the latter half, like, I thought were terrible. Like, once, like, you get the twist of what's going on, and, like, it just got worse and worse and worse. It's just, like, it's boring. Like, I was looking at my phone half the time because I was so mentally checked out. Like, I just fucking hated it. And, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you want to know any more about it, but I really did not like it at all.
It does not sound like something I want to ever watch again. Watch ever, let alone again.
You've seen the trailer for it, right?
Yeah, it's looks really weird.
Yeah, it could have been like a neat like 10-minute short or something, but like this is really stretched out and like just struggling to find a purpose to exist. Yeah, so I'm gonna go 2 weeks in a row, 1 star.
Wow.
I think between like this and the Neon Demon, I'm like, I've reached my quota for the year for pretentious bullshit, so I'm trying to avoid any more of that. You know what? I guess I'm going to go into another movie right now that I saw, because it's okay. I saw a movie called Hunt for the Wilder People, which is also quirky and super offbeat and weird and about two characters in the woods. So, like, shares a lot of DNA with Swiss Army Man. Except it is about something. It is funny. It is touching at parts. Like, Hunt for the Wilder People is the real deal. It's what movie like Swiss Army Man wishes it could be. It's directed by, God, I don't have the IMDb in front of me, but it's like Taika Waititi. Like, even if I had it in front of me, I probably would say, I'm probably saying it wrong.
Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce it, but that's pretty close.
Yeah, it's, I guess, kind of like the creative forces behind Flight of the Conchords, which I never would have guessed. I never really seen that show, so I don't know how it would compare. But anyways, it's about this kid who, he's been passed around different foster homes and stuff, and he moves in with this family, and he's like a bad kid. He's like a troubled kid. Well, supposedly, but he's labeled as bad. And this family takes him in, and tragedy happens, and he's looking at the possibility of being put into juvie, and he runs away into the woods, and the dad figure who adopted him or whatever joins him, and they go kind of on a journey in, you know, going through the woods and surviving the woods and hiding out while the police are looking for them. And it's just, it's a fun, yeah, it's a super, super fun. Like, it's funny. It's fun. Like, it's got, it's very lighthearted. There's moments that are kind of more emotional, but, and they kind of hit harder because the movie is so lighthearted and fun that, like, all of a sudden when it, like, it's serious for a moment, the punches land, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And the kid, like, what really, really makes this work more than anything is the characters are just so damn likable right away, and you just instantly care about them, especially the kid. Okay, so I don't have the IMDb in front of me right here, but the kid who's like the main character in this, he's great. He's really good. And the chemistry between him and his quote-unquote Uncle Hector, played by Sam Neill, is just great, and it's just, I think I texted you right after I said that. I think this is the feel-good movie of the year. It's like very highly recommended. Dude, it has a line. One of the lines in this movie is, you're more like Sarah Connor from The Terminator, except Sarah Connor from Terminator 1 before she could do chin-ups. Like, that's just like the kind of like just clever little things that like happen in it. Like, the trailer for it does not make it look super amazing. But it is pretty close to amazing. Like, I had a great time with this. It is my girlfriend, who hates every movie, it's her movie of the year. So, yeah, we were both, like, very surprised. And, yeah, I liked it a lot. I openly recommend it to pretty much anybody. Like, you might need to turn on, like, subtitles because there's a little bit of accent going on. It's shot in New Zealand.
Okay.
But other than that, I mean, it's a fun time. And like I said, it's what movies like Swiss Army Men wish they could be. And it does it, like, it feels effortless. Just a good time. So highly recommend it. I hope you see it at some point. Let me know how, like, what you think. I'm going to give it 5 stars.
Cool. That, I definitely have that on my list. So, we saw two other movies, but, you also saw The Jungle Book, which I saw a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. The other kid in the forest, or this case, jungle type thing. I had a theme going this week. I don't know what you thought of it, but I'll just say it, like, right off the bat. I thought that, like, it's perfectly fine kids movie and nothing more. Like, I was surprised by how much critics seem to like this.
I mean, I thought it, like, from a technical level, it's really good. Like, just visually, it's stunning.
Well, it's neat what they're doing too, because there's only one human actor in the whole damn movie. Everything else is like, it's weird because they're like updating an animated movie to live action, but it's still essentially animated. It's like really weird. Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, other than that though, like, I wasn't like super invested in anything that was happening, and Like, I was looking at, like, oh, if I was, like, you know, a little kid, I would be like, wow, this is awesome. But, like, it wasn't, like, I don't know, like, when I was watching Zootopia, where I was entertained on an adult level as well. It was just, like, this is perfectly quality entertainment for a kid. That was my takeaway. I don't know how you felt, like, other than the technical aspect of it.
I mean, I liked it. I thought it was, I mean, it's entirely watchable. I liked it. For me, I think I liked it a whole lot more, but I also generally tend to, I watch kids' movies with my kids a lot of times. Yeah, so
you get exposed to them a lot more, so you get to see a lot of more mediocrity. Like me, I watch, like, you know, I watch, like, Zootopia, which everyone loves, you know what I mean? Like, I don't get to see all the stuff that comes out, so.
Right.
I could see this being on the high end of like, family entertainment, but, like, I was just, I've never been that big into the Jungle Book either, for whatever reason. Like, it wasn't one of my favorites when I was a kid.
But, I mean, yeah, that could probably play into it as well. I did think they did some cool things with the original, like, they kind of they brought back, like, certain aspects. Like, it's not a musical, which the Jungle Book, the original cartoon, was. There was a lot of music in that. There's, like, a couple songs in this that are just, like, brief moments, and I thought they did a pretty good job. I don't know. I like the characters that they had. I mean,
I like Christopher Walken.
Yeah, Christopher Walken as King Louie was fantastic. I thought Bill Murray as Baloo was pretty good. You know, you had Ben Kingsley as Bagheera, who was the puma. And Idris Elba was great as Shere Khan. So, like, I liked just about everything about it. So, but I could definitely see, like, if you weren't invested in it at all, like, it just might not work. I did think
go ahead.
There was just one part, like, I think the snake part, kind of, like, if they cut that out, maybe it tightens up the film a bit more. Because it just seemed like it was not necessary.
Well, it gave you the backstory about like, how his father was killed I guess.
It does. It's just like, why is Ka here? Like, outside of, like, giving us that, which they could,
because it was in the first one.
Yeah, like,
was it in the first? Yeah.
I do think, like, there was something along the lines of, like, that in there. It was just like this kind of, it just stretches it out, and it just felt like that part kind of dragged for me a little bit. But overall, I liked it a lot. So
I don't know. Like I said, it's perfectly fine. Like, I had nothing against it, but a lot of, like, most of the time when I'm sitting there watching it, I kept thinking, honestly, I'd rather revisit the animated original, because there's a certain charm to those, like, old animated Disney movies, like Robin Hood and stuff like that.
Yeah, especially the 60s and 70s stuff.
Yeah.
There's definitely a, I think this one has some charm to it in a different way. It's just, it's a different type of movie. And I did see that a friend of ours on Facebook was kind of, like, lamenting the fact that Disney is just kind of remaking all their old animated classics as live action movies now. So Beauty and the Beast is coming next year. They announced that they're doing a live action Lion King, which I don't know how you do that.
And it's like that wouldn't be live Lion action. King, has, like, Lion King even aged at all? Like, I think that movie would work perfectly fine now. Like, I don't understand.
Well, I mean, Beauty and the Beast also, like, Beauty and the Beast and Lion King were about the same time period. And Mulan, they're doing a live action Mulan, but that at least makes sense because it has human people in it. The Lion King one, I'm a bit confused by, because it's still going to be animated. It's just going to be animated like this Jungle Book one. So
it's weird. I would rather let things stand as they are, but I don't know. I guess that's a way to introduce a new generation to these stories. But, like, honestly, like, give the lion, put the Lion King on Blu-ray, and kids today would still like it. I think is that animation style that dated? Like, you can't watch hand-drawn animation anymore.
I mean, no, because like that's a because look at like what they did with like Frozen and like they're still doing that type of animation. Like, yes, it's all now computer generated, but Frozen is like a cartoon. Like, it looks like traditional animation. Even if it is all now done on a computer. So I mean, they've been doing this stuff on the computer for years.
I mean, I guess it's a sure bet. I mean, I guess.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. The Jungle Book, which isn't a super popular Disney movie. Like, it's a classic Disney movie, but when you think of like classic Disney movies, like the Jungle Book's probably at the bottom of that list. And this one made like, I think it made like $330 million or something in the United States. So, it did pretty well for itself. But yeah, these are kind of sure bets for Disney.
Yeah, I don't know. I just
made almost $1 billion worldwide, which is nuts.
Yeah, so obviously you do Beauty and the Beast or something like that, or Lion King like that, it's going to make gangbusters.
But Beauty and the Beast is going to blow up the box office. Like, I mean, that's one. That's for a lot of people. That's the one.
But those movies are perfect. They really are.
Like, you go back to Beauty and the Beast. Like, they had to create an animated Oscar category because Beauty and the Beast was so good. It was nominated for Best Picture that year. Like,
yeah, I whatever. Go for it, Disney. I don't give a damn.
Right. I mean, there's nothing.
Ruin my childhood. Right.
But it doesn't take away those movies, Jeff. So.
I already was kind of old for those movies, but I can look back at them now and say they were perfect.
We both saw one other movie, I guess.
We're
closing this out. We watched the Netflix documentary, Amanda Knox.
Yeah. I was looking forward to it. You know why? Because I saw a trailer for it in the fucking theater, dude.
Really?
I was like, oh, this must be a big deal. Yeah, it was before Blair Witch, I want to say. They had a trailer for Amanda Knox. I was like, coming to that. And it was like, coming to Netflix later this month. I was like, ooh. You know, and usually Netflix original stuff is great. I should add a caveat here that I did miss probably about a half hour in the middle, so maybe I'm not an authority on this. But I found it to be less compelling than I thought it would be. Like, I was just kind of like, I was kind of flabbergasted the whole time going, like, how did this ever really happen? And I guess that's kind of, like, the point of the documentary. But, like,
right,
there wasn't much to it. Like, it didn't really solve anything either. Like, it was just kind of an in-depth look at what happened to her. And they did have the added bonus of having her there, and it is well made. But, like, I was not, like, super into it. I was just like, whatever. What did you think?
I don't think it's super compelling. I think the story itself is, like, which is interesting because the movie just doesn't come across that way. It definitely gives me more information than probably I had, like, you know, just reading it cursory as it was happening. But it's a bit dull, and there's no, we know what the outcome is. Like,
there's no aha moment. There's no big reveal.
Like, it's just like they kind of just go over the facts of the case, and then they do get the lead investigator. He is interviewed for this. They have Amanda Knox. They have Rafael Silesio. So they talk to them in this, but I mean, it's very much there's no kind of like, it starts off trying to set it up like Amanda Knox is doing a voiceover where she's like, you know if I did this
either, I'm a monster or
I didn't do this, and it's like, but it never kind of like tries to paint the picture that she might have done this. So it never really gets really interesting.
Yeah, and like my takeaway from watching it, like outside of how like whether it was good or not as a movie, it was just like I didn't get like how, I guess I get that the police were under pressure to solve the case because it was like a high profile deal,
right?
But like it didn't make sense to me how they automatically assumed that she or her boyfriend had anything to do with it, like. No criminal record, no motive. Was not there. It seemed to me that the investigator had some weird, sexual fetishes or like perversions in his head, and he was like applying it to them. Like it was just like, well, I think it was a weird sex game they were playing, and like that's how she got killed. And I was like. Well, what are you basing this on?
Right,
like, any evidence. You're just speculating. Like,
yeah, and then it's like, oh, we found a knife that had, it had your DNA on it.
Like, she lives there.
Right, and it's like, okay, so, like, stuff can move around, and I think that's, they don't really, and that's what's kind of disappointing about this, they don't really go into the investigation of it. They just kind of go... And then there was an appeal, and it went to like these forensic examiners that were like, "Hey, there's a lot of fuck ups here. Like, there's a lot of contamination. None of this kind of ties in together." And it's like, all right, but we already knew all that, and they kept using the same footage over and over and over again. Like, there's if you go to like the IMDb page, there's a picture of the poster, and then. The trailer, and it has a picture of Amanda Knox and Rafael Silencio outside of her apartment or her house.
Well, were they like kissing right after?
Yeah. And they reuse that like 4 or 5 times in the movie. And it's like, you don't have any actual footage. Like this movie is just reusing assets.
It's like, and give me something like, honestly, I did not follow this case close at all, but it's like, give me something that, we could not have seen by watching the news or like, give me something, a reason for this documentary to like really exist. Like, I don't know. It's fine. Like people who like true crime docs, like it's as good or better than an episode of Forensic Files or whatever. Like it's fine for what it is, but it's like, it's not like special. Like you expect for like, dude, Netflix gave us Making a Murderer a year ago, and that was, like, a super in-depth, I think, 10-part series.
Yeah.
That, like, went into nitty-gritty, and, like, there was episodes that ended on cliffhangers where your jaw just hit the fucking floor, and this, like, nothing in it, like, surprised me or anything. I was just like, doesn't make sense.
I get that some of it is just, we're not, like, for the Making of the Murderer stuff, like, a lot of that is public record. So we're able to kind of like get that information here as filmmakers or as the public. I don't know what Italy's kind of handling of that stuff is. So I don't know how much of like the actual
courtroom stuff,
like how much of that is actually able to be released. And it's like, that's the stuff that I think I would have wanted to
that's
see.
I want to see. Yeah. I want to see the court like drama and
like, I want to see like, I kind of want to see like where, examine why like the guy thought this, like,
I think he's fucked in the head, dude. Like, I really think he's an idiot. Like,
but then try and paint that picture at least. Like
it doesn't. Yeah.
Is it cause they don't pick it. Like they're just like, oh, she's not guilty.
There's one line he says where he's like, I like detective movies. And that's when like, I kind of centered in on what this guy's problem was, is that he has an active imagination. Right. Like, dude, like, you're supposed to kind of approach it. But yeah, you have to use a little intuition and like think about human nature, right? But you're also kind of like a scientist when you're being like a forensic, like crime scene guy, like, or whatever, investigator, like, and you need motive. There's no, it doesn't, like, it never made sense to me. Other than he was like, yeah, she's a weirdo. She's like a pervert. I mean, I'm just like, based on what?
Where are you getting that from?
She's had 7 partners in her life, by the age of 20, which is probably pretty average. You know, like, there wasn't She was a kid out exploring Europe. Like, I don't understand. Like, I never would have thought in a million years it was her. Like, it doesn't make sense. The like alternative suspect that they give like makes me way more sense. Right. Even that is flimsy, but it's like at least that makes sense. Like this, just the whole case was just like, I was just like, it's too bad she like lost like almost a decade of her life, or God, like it was at least 4 years or whatever it was.
Well, she was in jail for 4 years, so
yeah. But then there was like, it was like looming over her after that too.
Yeah, like it just wrapped up last year, so yeah. Like we're talking probably about almost 10 years that she
the better part of her 20s, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah,
her.
I think, you know, she's 30 now, so.
Yeah, it's but just as a movie, as we both said, it just was not super compelling. Like, I think it's fine. I don't think it's bad. Like,
I mean, if you don't know anything about the case, it's certainly it's interesting. The case is fascinating. It's just, I think they could have done a better job with it, like, to make it more compelling, make it more of a reason to give it a watch.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd say three stars for me.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. So.
Like, it wasn't bad. It just wasn't super compelling.
Right.
There is a Netflix documentary coming out this week that premiered at the New York Film Festival, I want to say, like last week. It's called The 13th. It's from the director of Selma, and it is about kind of black history in America, essentially. Like, kind of about how, like, once the 13th Amendment was passed and the slavery was abolished, that, you know, that the criminal justice system just was like, well, there won't be slaves anymore. We're gonna put them in prison. That's the assertion that the trailer makes anyways.
Yeah. And, I watched that. That was definitely the feeling I got from the trailer.
Yeah. And, you know, very timely. This year has been dominated by police violence and Black Lives Matter. And so, like, I care about those things, and so, like, that makes me automatically interested. But the reactions that I got at the film festival last week made me even more interested. So I'm super excited. I think that comes out tomorrow. So excited to see that.
There's a sci-fi movie on Netflix, the Netflix original called Arc, that I'm going to give a shot to. I'm not really sure what it's about, but
shit. Netflix, if I watched that... If I watched that would be my first sci-fi movie. I don't think I've seen one yet. But
yeah, I think Neighbors 2 comes out next week too, so I might give that a go.
It's not bad. It's all right.
I want to see The Girl on the Train, but I don't think I'm going to get it. My wife wants to see it too, so I don't think we're going to get out to see it. It's not reviewing well, so.
Yeah, well, really? I thought it's kind of mixed, right? Or is it really going bad?
It's at 45% right now, so.
Oh, never mind. That's kind of low. Well, yeah, for me, next week I'll have the 13th, and I will have finished up 11/22/63 finally. And I will have seen – what movie do I have right now? Oh, I have it's coming tomorrow. I've heard bad things about it, but Keanu.
Oh, okay, the cat movie?
Yeah, I heard like from like two or three friends that were just like, hey, you know that movie Keanu about the cat? I was like, yeah, dude, I'm looking forward to that. They're like, yeah, it kind of sucks. I was like, okay, so we'll see. So I got that coming. But yeah, those are like the only things I can guarantee for next week.
All right.
We'll see. We always come up with something.
Yeah. So we'll be back next week, I guess.
Yeah, buddy.
Movie dudes. Do, 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 do.